Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
To what do you owe your success?
I exercise control in all things, Miss Steele.
It must be really boring.
I'm incapable of leaving you alone.
Then don't.
I had a rough start in life. You should steer clear of me. I don't do romance. My tastes are very singular. You wouldn't understand.
Enlighten me then.
An excerpt from the trailer for the movie 50 Shades of Grey. Of course, it was a very popular book. It was labeled as pornographic very early on, not visually pornographic, but literally pornographic. Tells the story of, well, I can only call this a deeply dysfunctional, do you even want to call this a relationship? Or is it something more akin to a mutual consent or an arrangement? Not romantic, decidedly not romantic, but certainly sensual. Why is the book sold so much? And how in the world, not only in a culture where 50 Shades of Grey will not only becoming a best-selling book, but also will undoubtedly become a blockbuster movie, how do you talk to your kids and your family about it? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 12th of February. Dr. Miriam Grossman will join us to talk about talking to your kids about 50 Shades of Grey. Then Bill McKeever joins us. There's been an excommunication of a Mormon podcaster. He still considers himself a Latter-day Saint, but he has renounced some of the key teachings of the Mormon Church, and the Mormon Church did what it had to do and said he's excommunicated, he's no longer a Mormon. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry will explain it to us in the next half hour of Issues Etc. Feel free to give us a call in the next hour with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners. We always like to hear from you on the Issues Etc. comment line, open 24/7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about talking to our kids about 50 Shades of Grey, Dr. Miriam Grossman. She's a medical doctor with training in pediatrics and in the specialty of child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry. She spent 12 years on the staff of UCLA's Student Counseling Services, author of the books Unprotected and You're Teaching My Child What, and she's written a 5-part parental guide to 50 Shades of Grey. Dr. Grossman, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Great to be back with you.
Oddly enough, you say that the Hollywood movie 50 Shades of Grey presents parents with a perfect opportunity. What's the opportunity?
Yes, it is a golden opportunity, actually, and I really am urging parents to take advantage of it. Don't miss this opportunity. At every turn, we are being bombarded with visuals from the movie, the handcuffs, the tie, Mr. Grey, the music, and so on and so forth. You can't escape it. And, of course, the theme of the movie is a vile one, and that is that abuse, emotional abuse and physical abuse in a relationship is sometimes not only okay, but actually erotic and glamorous. This is a dangerous message to give, especially to young, naive people who, most of whom actually are already quite confused about love. In my years as a psychiatrist, I have met thousands and thousands of young people have ended up in my office. And I would say that the number one issue that causes deep pain and suffering in young people is romance and love and the poor decisions that they've made. This movie, the message of this movie, even if kids don't see it, the message is seeping into our culture, and it's like high octane gas being thrown on this kind of, you know, fire of confusion and pain. I'm not exaggerating. I know that these are, you know, I'm putting it in a very dramatic way, but as someone that has sat with people in tremendous pain over these things, I'm not exaggerating. But parents can grab this opportunity every time there's a billboard, in the grocery store, you're seeing the handcuffs and all of that and the music. It's an opportunity to say to your child, hey, you know, this is something important that I want to talk to you about. Even if it's awkward and we've never discussed things like this, this movie is so over the top. It is so extreme that we have to take some time and talk about it together. And so in the Parent Survival Guide, I'm explaining to parents why they need to do this and how they can do it. In fact, how to talk about sadomasochism to your child. I never imagined when I was in medical school or training as a psychiatrist that I'd ever have to do anything like this, but this is the world we live in. And if you don't explain to your child that abuse, physical abuse and emotional abuse has absolutely no place in a healthy relationship, that they need to turn the other way if there's any suggestion of emotional or physical abuse with a person that they're getting to know or they're already intimate with, you're losing a precious opportunity. And that's why I did this. By the way, the last part of my parent survival guide is actually a letter that can be printed out. It's a letter from me to young people in those situations where parents, guardians, grandparents, or whoever it may be that's concerned about young people, if they can't sit down with them for whatever reason, they can print out that letter. They can put it on their child's pillow or stick it in their backpack or send it to them in college, whatever it is, so that there's really no excuse for anyone not to have a warning about the dangerous ideas of this movie.
Okay, what is the, obviously without the details, what is the general plot of this movie, the two characters and the beginning and the end of their relationship? How would you describe it?
Okay, it can really be done in just a few sentences, at least in the book. Now, I certainly don't know what's going to exactly be covered in the movie, but the basic plot is that a man by the name of Christian Grey, who's like a 28-year-old self-made billionaire, handsome, you know, wealthy and all that, is a tortured soul. He was terribly abused and neglected as a child. He never experienced love. And so he is into sadomasochism. That's the only type of relationship he can have with a woman. He meets a young, inexperienced, and foolish young woman who's drawn to him and drawn into a relationship with him. They continue with that, and over time, she's able to bring him out of it, and they end up, you know, riding into the sunset together. By the end of the trilogy of books, they are married and expecting their second child. So one of the points that I make in my Parent Survival Guide and letter to young people is that this would only happen in a movie. This is not real life. In real life, a person like Christian Grey ends up in jail. In real life, a woman like Anastasia ends up battered in a woman's shelter and maybe even dead, or at the very least, in a miserable relationship with this man. So this is all fiction, made up. Young women should not be led to believe that like Anastasia, they can rescue a young man from his inner emotional demons. That is a Mother Teresa complex. It doesn't work in reality if she is fulfilled by helping emotionally disturbed people. She should become a psychiatrist, a social worker. There's many opportunities to do that, but you do not pick your life partner as a project to work on him and make miracles and bring him back into health.
Okay, you say that one of two basic concepts that drive the plot and the idea behind this series of books, and then we would think the movie that's going to be out here this weekend. The first of the two of them that are dangerous and harmful to women is that as long as there's consent, whatever it may be, consent to whatever it may be, it's okay. What do you mean, and why is that so dangerous?
Well, that's dangerous because the logic there is just simply, it's faulty logic. The logic there would say that any time a person makes a decision from their own free will, their free choice, they're not coerced, they're not pressured, that decision is fine and no one can judge it. And that's silly. That's ridiculous. People make poor decisions all the time that they haven't been coerced into. Anything from, what if we were talking about Anastasia making a decision of her own free will to go on some extreme diet for a month, or go to Las Vegas and gamble away everything that she had. Would that be okay just because no one forced her to do it? It's faulty logic.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk further about how to speak to your children about 50 Shades of Grey. Dr. Miriam Grossman is our guest. She's a medical doctor with training in pediatrics and in the specialty of child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry. She spent 12 years on the staff of UCLA's Student Counseling Services. She's author of the books Unprotected and You're Teaching My Child What? We'll be right back.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about how to speak with your kids about 50 Shades of Grey. It cannot be avoided, so you might as well take the opportunity to discuss it with your children, especially with, I would say especially with young women who would be attracted to this kind of story, and many of them are. That's why the books sell, that's why the movies sell, but also with young men as well. Dr. Miriam Grossman is our guest. She's written a 5-part parental survival guide to 50 Shades of Grey, and you can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. Dr. Grossman, I have to wonder in the course of this conversation with you, if this story had been told and if this movie had been made, not with a hapless young woman, inexperienced and naive, finding a billionaire, you know, who flies in his glider and lives in his mansion and drives his expensive cars around, but with the average Joe, you know, the guy that sits on his front porch with a can of beer in his hand. If the story were told that way, would the veil be removed from the glamour of all of this that seems to gloss over the fact that this is an abusive relationship?
Well, of course, but that would never happen because the author and the producers of the movie, you know, just want to sell tickets and sell books, and so they've got to make these characters, you know, wealthy and glamorous and attractive and everything else, because that's what people want to see on the screen. But of course, you're right. I want to also mention, since so much of this has been about women, but I do want to mention to people who have sons that this also, this movie, the ideas of this movie, are very dangerous for boys. I had a young man that wrote to me, and he said, you know, I'm seeing a level of excitement about this movie like I've never seen before, in girls, in young women, in the girlfriends of my own girlfriend and the girlfriends of my buddies. And we just don't understand it. We were always taught to be sensitive and caring and respectful of women because that's what women always say that they want. And then they're going crazy for this character, Christian Grey, who is rough and controlling and disrespectful. What's going on? And so, you know, the guys also need to be talked to and explained. They might be led to think that girls really are into some violence and abuse. And of course, you know, this, like I said earlier, is pouring gasoline on a fire that already exists between, in terms of intimate partner violence. So I believe that young men have to be really told in no uncertain terms that a healthy woman most certainly does not want to be physically or emotionally abused. A healthy woman wants to be respected and cared for, provided for, and protected. And what happens in this movie, in the character of Christian Grey, that is so toxic, I would say, is that, like you mentioned before, you know, well, you mentioned the physical trappings of the wealth and the airplanes and, you know, the good looks. But it goes beyond that, because the character of Christian Grey is described, is portrayed as someone who also has some strength, some masculine strength. Let's put it that way. He could, in some women's minds, be looked at as someone who is very protective and caring and doting on Anastasia and, you know, showers her with attention and protects her from guys that are hitting on her and is, you know, very ambitious and assertive and has some qualities that a healthy woman does want. The only thing is that he occasionally needs to tie her up and, you know, chain her to the bedpost and torture her. Oh, well, you know, that's so they wrap all this. There's darkness, but then the author puts some light into it. So that's where you get, you know, the gray part of it, and that's what's so dangerous, because there are certain things in life that are not black and white, but the issue of violence in a relationship and of abuse is not one of them. That is certainly black and white. It is never okay to do that. And young women, young men need to understand that if a woman wants to introduce that element into the relationship, she's not healthy. It's not coming from a healthy part of her. And he needs to find somebody that is more healthy emotionally.
The other lie that you mentioned earlier that this story tends to lean upon and tell is that this young woman, Anastasia, can and does in the course of the story save Christian from his inner demons and reform him or redeem him in some sense. Now, obviously, you said a Mother Teresa complex must be part of the appeal to women of this story, but you say it's another lie. Talk about that, if you would.
Oh, sure. It's part of the appeal, along with the private jets and you know, lifestyle that he provides. But in general, people don't change. And a young person needs to know that. When you pick your life partner, you should be picking someone who's wonderful and exactly what you want, or close to exactly what you want right now. Not that you see the potential and that you're sure that over the years with love and attention and loyalty that, oh, that person will change. You know, his bad habits will recede and I'll be able to help him out of that. No, that's not a wise decision in life to make. Again, if you're attracted to the idea of working with people on their problems, people who have some sort of emotional disturbance, you can do that as a career, but not at home in your personal relationship with your husband or wife.
So how would you, two final questions for you, how would you evaluate and you mentioned it before, the extreme appeal that this book has had over its short course in publication, and obviously the movie will build upon that, especially to women?
I think that, first of all, you know, the appeal on a certain level is, sadly to say, because it is pornographic to a certain degree, and that's something we didn't touch upon at all. Pornography is dangerous to the mind, dangerous to the heart. That's been well established. But that is part of the appeal. But I think on a greater level, in terms of the women that have really gotten into the story, and I know that a lot of Christian people, women have, on the blogs you can read a lot of women writing in about how they're into it, but what they're into is not the S&M, the sadomasochism part of it. I believe it's a very small percentage of people that are into that, tiny. I believe that it's the dynamic between the characters, the relationship and how it evolves, although it's terribly written. I mean, it's the writing is just abysmal. But at the end of it, like I said, the story leads you to believe that this young woman who's inexperienced and, you know, becomes devoted to this guy, that she's able through with time to bring him out of the darkness that he is living in. And so I think that, you know, and then a family and so on and so forth. And that storyline appeals to many people. I think it's sad. There's much better literature out there. But this is what a certain percentage of the population wants to read. What I'm more concerned about is that it will change the way people think about intimate partner violence, and that it will promote it as something that's not only okay, but something that's glamorous and exciting and should be experimented with. That's my concern. But again, parents can use this golden opportunity to discuss so many things about disturbed relationships with their kids, how to recognize a disturbed relationship, how to avoid it, why, the biology of intimacy and understanding that sexuality is a powerful experience. Even if you don't think it is, it has an effect on your brain that you're not aware of, and that it can lead you to make decisions that you can regret later on. So if I could, I'm just going to provide my website, which is all one word, Miriam Grossman, MiriamGrossmanMD.com. And I've got lots and lots of information, aside from this parent survival guide, lots of information that can be used by everyone to further their understanding of topics such as these, and to also understand how mainstream comprehensive sexuality education is simply about sexual freedom and not sexual health. But what we want for our kids is sexual health.
Finally, then, just a simple way that our listener can begin the conversation with their kids about the issues, the disturbing issues raised by 50 Shades of Grey.
Sure.
1 minute, if you would.
Sure. Parents, first of all, should understand that they can have a tremendous impact on their kids simply by what their expectations are and what their values are, even if a parent's life has not been perfect and people have made mistakes in their lives. It's okay. Join humanity. Everyone has made mistakes. It's important to share your values and your expectations with your kids. Take a moment. Think of when you may have an opportunity for some private, uninterrupted time with your child. If you don't think that's going to happen or the child will not agree to it for some reason, you can even bribe the child. I know a lot of people disagree with that, but I believe this is important enough. And you say, listen, there's a movie out there. It's a dangerous movie. I want to explain to you why. And even if the child is rolling their eyes and looking away from you and not reacting whatsoever, I promise you that your words are entering your child's heart, and they will remember that conversation forever. There's more on my blog about exactly what you can say to your child. The child does not need details about sadomasochism. It's enough to say that there are people in the world that are confused about love, and that in their mind, love is entangled with all sorts of bad feelings like pain or embarrassment, and they are not able to love another person in a normal manner. And that's how you start the conversation.
Dr. Miriam Grossman is a medical doctor with training in pediatrics and in the specialty of child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry. She spent 12 years on staff of UCLA's Student Counseling Services, author of the books Unprotected and You're Teaching My Child What. She's written a 5-part parental survival guide to 50 Shades of Grey. You'll find a link to this series under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Grossman, thank you for being our guest.
You're so welcome, Todd. Thanks for what you do.
When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of a Mormon podcaster, still regards himself as a Latter-day Saint, but in the course of his broadcasts has ended up denying much of what the Mormon Church teaches, and the Mormon Church has excommunicated him. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry will explain the story to us after this.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.